May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When thinking about today's sermon, I asked myself, what can I say about John the Baptist that hasn't already been said? John was, after all, born in miraculous circumstances. He grew up in the desert on a diet of locusts and honey. And in today's reading, we meet John as he suddenly appears on the scene, calling others to a baptism of repentance and pointing them to the one who soon is to come. Now, you may be wondering why we read about John the Baptist when today, the second Sunday of Advent, is a day set aside to remember the prophets, the messengers from God sent to proclaim the word of the Lord. John the Baptist is sometimes referred to as the last prophet, the man who stands between the old and the new, the one called by God to make straight the path and prepare the way for the Lord. And there is a tradition still very much alive in certain parts of the world of lighting bonfires and beacons on the eve of the feast of St. John the Baptist. This is an ancient practice and is very fitting to his life and calling. For John was sent by God as a beacon to light the way for the one coming into the world. And yet, what really strikes me about John the Baptist is his humility. If we read a bit further back in the Gospel, we see how John, although wild and dramatic, places the focus not on himself, but on the one whose sandals he is unworthy to untie. Now, we can easily miss the significance of this today. At the time, to untie another's sandals was a lowly and humiliating act. It was, in fact, the job of a slave. So when speaking of Jesus in this way, John is both humbling himself and exalting Jesus. And soon, John would experience an even greater humility that only comes from an encounter with the living God. When Jesus, standing at the banks of the Jordan River, asked John for baptism. Now this, John did not expect. And this experience shed light on what it means to be prophetic in John's world and today. And this reminds me of a young man named Jordan I once knew. Jordan was a happy and outgoing young man, the type of person everyone liked. And as he was proud to tell everyone who would listen, he had Down syndrome. Now, my husband and I lived with Jordan as his caretakers and his friend, and he loved to go out with us everywhere we went. He liked meeting new people and enjoyed attending church, but due to his learning difficulties, did not comprehend much of the service. One evening, Jordan was especially concerned that he could not do all the things the vicar was speaking about in his sermon. He felt that he always made mistakes, that he wasn't good enough for God. And so Jordan went to sleep that evening quite sad. The next morning, Jordan came into the kitchen. "Good morning, Jordan," I asked. He said, "I had a dream." I said, "Oh, was it a good or a bad dream?" "I don't know. It was a scary dream." And Jordan went on to tell us his dream. He said, "I was swimming in the Jordan River, and I was very sad. I felt like a bad person, that no one liked me. And then I began to sink in the water. I was scared because I was drowning." "What happened next?" I asked. "Jesus came and swam with me. He pulled me up out of the river, and he said to me, 'You are no longer drowning, Jordan. you are safe with me. I love you and have given you new life." Now, Jordan remembered that dream for a long time. It reminded him how much God loved him just the way he was. And Jordan's experience spilled over into our lives and into the lives of those around us. And it also, for me, pointed to the surprising nature of God's prophetic intervention in our world. Because, of course, this is what we are preparing ourselves for this Advent, when God intervenes in the world by becoming one of us, by swimming with us through our lives and bringing us safely into the reality of new life with Him. In recent weeks, our thoughts have been on the tragedy and complexity of war and violence in our world. We long for a modern-day prophet, someone to point us in the right direction, someone to prepare the way for genuine peace. Now, I believe modern-day prophets do exist, yet who they are just might surprise us. Last week, the French newspapers printed a letter written by an 18-year-old Parisian woman addressed to the terrorists. She writes, "I'm 18 and I'm Catholic. Today, like every Monday, as I left class, I went to have a cup of coffee at my local cafe. Nothing amazing. The coffee didn't taste different than it had in the past. The regulars were sitting at the same tables, and the waitress had the same smile. Like every Monday, I took yesterday's newspaper out of my bag and skimmed the headlines. But I don't recognize the newspaper that I flip through every week. The logo is at half-mast, and there is only one headline, sorrow and anger. I put down my paper, swallow my coffee, and leave. For the first time this year, I leave this familiar place early. So where should I go? Go home like the authorities advise us? No, I decide to walk to a place that is familiar and precious to my heart. This place is my parish church, my second home, the Lord's home. I go in, and there are a lot of people. The only remaining spot is a kneeler in front of the altar of Saint Rita, the saint of lost causes and impossible things. And as I kneel, a passage from Saint Matthew comes to mind. Love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, pray for those who persecute you. And so I had an idea. I would not pray for the victims, nor for the bereaved, as I had in previous days. Today, I will pray for you. I will ask the Lord, with the help of all my faith, to help me, to help us forgive your barbaric and unjustifiable action. Then I remembered a second passage, "For when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." And so I prayed to not be the only Christian who prays for you. I prayed for you to learn to accept the forgiveness of others. So may the Lord Jesus set you on the right path and teach you the meaning of love and fraternity that binds us all. Finally, I hope, dear terrorist, that these words will reach you so that you come to realize that hatred and death are not the solution, and they are not the end. For you did not kill our faith. You have resurrected it. From a young Catholic trying to forgive. And so, as we move through this season of Advent, let's think about the prophets of old who point us to the coming of the Lord. And to those modern-day prophets like Jordan, like this young woman from Paris, who are evidence that the Lord has come. Amen.